You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report. And our guest on this hour is Nick Weiser. Good morning, Nick. It's good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me.
So Nick, the way the show starts is with a kind of a corny beginning. It's who are you? And it's blunt, it's big, but what do we need to know to get to know you? Where do we need to start the conversation?
I suppose I should lead off with the fact that I'm a musician, a pianist in the area. But what I typically tell people when I first meet them is that I grew up in a small town in western Kansas of about 1,000 people. Not much to do out there, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And so I found my passion in the piano. My father owned a bar and restaurant in town. In it was the family piano that my great-grandfather purchased for $500 in 1895. And I remember going to the bar after school, waiting for my parents to give me a ride home, and with little else to do, I became interested in the sounds I could get out of the piano.
Wow.
Grew up in a pretty musical household.
Uh-huh.
My parents played a lot of music, and so I had an ear for things, and they noticed that I was picking out tunes that I had heard on the radio, and they noticed my intuition. My parents asked me, I think when I was 7 or 8 years old, if I was interested in maybe taking piano lessons, because they thought that maybe there was something there. I know my mother didn't expect my father to bring that 500-pound instrument home, but I said yes, and so did he, and we moved it home.
Uh-huh.
And that's sort of how I got my start playing.
And that dates to 1880?
1895.
I just have to mention this. I have the piano that was purchased with the cattle that were my grandmother's dowry in 1913.
Wow.
It's been through lots of people. I do not play, but because of various other family things, and this was out in Northwest Missouri, probably not more than 300 miles or so from where you're from in a town of 1,000. Anyway, Nick, I'm looking forward to this. You brought some music. Shall we start with Isotope?
Let's go ahead.
And do you want to say anything about it before we play it?
It's a composition by Joe Henderson. It's blues and kind of a quirky, jaunty blues piece. It's always been fun one for me to play. And this is one of the oldest recordings we're going to hear today. This is from my master's recital in 2010.
At the Eastman School.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, 88.1 in Ithaca and 91.9 in Watkins Glen. And our guest on this hour is Nick Weiser. So, Nick, you've shared with us some of your music here now. Tell me a bit about, you know, that kind of growing up in the Wild West of Kansas, not much to do, finding your way to music. I sense that you're captivated by it, but what were some of the specific experiences that helped you kind of come to where you are now and the person you are now? What has helped to shape you along the way?
Well, I think my finding the piano was in some ways an outlet because, well, you mentioned the Wild, Wild West. My upbringing was a little wild.
You said a bar. Your family ran a bar.
Right. Yeah. Ran a bar. But, you know, I grew up a pretty tumultuous childhood. A lot of things, family issues, just difficulties living out there and dealing with the day-to-day things that were going on. So for me, I think to an extent, the piano was a way of expressing maybe some of the emotions that I didn't know how to verbalize or some of the things that I didn't know how to deal with growing up.
And maybe you didn't even know you were expressing at the time.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot for us when we're young and not articulate.
Right, yeah. It was interesting because of some of my experiences. I felt like I maybe had to grow up a little bit faster than I would have liked to maybe mitigate some of the things that were going on in my family growing up.
Right. So what have you learned about yourself and what have you learned about your family that you take away from that hardship or that challenge?
I've learned through music that it's really important to be honest. And, you know, I find that improvisational, you know, improvisation gives us the opportunity to be really genuine in what we're doing, gives us the opportunity to be really transparent. And that's something that I've found that I really need.
Right. And I want to use a little bit of a scary image. To do improvisation with the kind of honesty is to stand as close to the flame as you possibly can and still remain productive.
Right. So, yeah, that's what I got at, I think, early on in my playing.
So, in a way, so how did that translate to your growing up as a person? That's wisdom,
right?
In a certain sense. How did you, and that's something that's often not appreciated by people in heavily conflicted environments or rough and tumble places. How did you learn to cultivate that in yourself and not let it get damaged? Because I grew up in a town of 1,000 too, and I saw, and it was really a kind of a rural ghetto because it was just falling apart fast.
Right.
With drugs and alcohol and all sorts of violence with the cops and violence with each other. And so how did you protect that insight from being just driven away by cynicism?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that really helped early on in my development was the fact that I started as a classical musician.
Right out of the box.
Yeah. I had a more traditional musical upbringing, I guess you'd say. And classical music afforded a certain structure and a certain predictability. You knew what you were getting when you were playing classical music. You knew sort of that means to the end, and so the structure of classical music was a nice, nice counterpart to some of the other things that were going on, the things that were less structured, less predictable,
right?
And so that I felt was really helpful for my development early on, and as a person to develop that kind of structure and the discipline that I needed to sort of learn these pieces and play this kind of music. So it was a great springboard for me, and it was also a really nice I guess, just way of figuring out who I was as a person early on.
Right. And whether or not that person was, well, I mean, it's hard when you're in an environment that is chaotic. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're on the periphery of the chaos, and sometimes you're in the middle of the chaos,
right.
And sometimes you're the object of the chaos.
Right.
So, and especially in a small town where it's like living in a microscope, even if there's nobody else looking in, it
right.
feels like everybody sees way too much.
Right.
When you went to college at K-State, I mean,
University of Kansas,
KU, yeah, Lawrence, and why Lawrence?
Well, when I was, I guess, in middle school and high school, I started attending summer camps at mm-hmm. University of Kansas, and so I guess I was. They were grooming me for the school from the get-go. I looked at a few other places, but really loved Lawrence. The other thing that I remember about growing up in Western Kansas, it was very conservative, as you can imagine. And a lot of that didn't really resonate with me. And so Lawrence was a much more liberal oasis within the state. So I just found that more appealing. And I knew a lot of people there, and I had a lot of connections already at the University of Kansas.
And it's not such a huge hop to make as going to college. I mean, if you go a lot further away, it's a bigger stretch.
Right.
Yeah. And so, how did your life change from the chaos of a small town of Western Kansas to going to Lawrence? How did things change for you?
Well, it was interesting because when I was growing up in Western Kansas, I was a big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. I was really actively involved in the community there, playing in churches mostly. For as small a town as it was, I think we had 6, 7, maybe more different churches. Mm-hmm. And I was playing in just about every one of them. So... that community was really great, very nurturing. But that changed when I got to KU in that there were other great musicians.
Right.
So it gave me a much more perspective, gave me a different perspective. But also KU was a great opportunity for me to continue sort of growing. And the community was big, but not so big that I couldn't be a part of it.
Right. It was a good pond the next size bigger.
Right.
I want to ask you something. A place can be at the same time chaotic, difficult, broken in many ways, and still be nurturing and offer lots of opportunities. And it seems like you had that kind of a complicated experience of where you're from. My experience of small town America is that there was an old man in King City whose wife died, and he learned how to fly a plane so he could fly it to New York City to go to the opera 3 or 4 times a year. So he went to the Met. That was what he wanted to do when he was living alone as an old man. He was going to go see the opera because he and his wife had listened to it on the radio. And there were music teachers who took it upon themselves to teach kids how to play. Some of them were kind of rote and wooden and not very, but others of them had a much more connection to a wider world. Was that true where you were, or was it more isolated or more inward looking as the nation has become in many rural areas?
I don't think I necessarily felt that isolation.
Yeah.
I had a lot of opportunity, not just within that town, but also regional things that developed. And I felt like it did give me the opportunity to sort of spread my wings
and to launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Let's cut to music. What should we play next?
Maybe a nod to my classical background. One of the things I really enjoy doing, now that I've sort of taken a more, well, taken a more improvisational approach, is taking classical music, familiar classical tunes, and putting a different spin on them. So perhaps we could listen to Liebeslied. This is a Fritz Kreisler composition. Translates to Love's Sorrow.
Okay, and here we go. Liebeslied being performed by Nick Weiser, our guest on this hour of the Made of Clay Report. You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca. So, Nick, How did you make it from Western Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, to Ithaca, New York?
Let's see.
I mean, a lot of people make it here, but every story is just slightly,
right.
slightly different.
When I was at University of Kansas, I was a classical piano major, but I was actively involved in the jazz program there. Mm-hmm. Really developed a passion for jazz music. Also realized that it was, well, more profitable being a jazz musician than it was being a classical musician. I was getting a lot of work there and doing quite a bit of traveling and performing. And so I decided that I wanted to pursue jazz mm-hmm. As far as the remainder of my education went. And I started looking at some of the best schools I could find, mm-hmm. Best jazz programs in the country, with the hope that I would maybe get in somewhere. Applied to a number of places, Manhattan School of Music, New England yep. Conservatory, North Texas, Miami, but ultimately ended up going to the Eastman School of Music up in Rochester, New York. And again, it was another nice stepping stone. Mm-hmm. Went from a town of 1,000 to a town of about 100,000. It was more liberal. Of course, being up here in New York State, totally different atmosphere, mm-hmm. different sure. Different energy. And Rochester was an even bigger mm-hmm. city. So
about a million.
about a million. So as it turned out, it was just another correct move, I think. Uh-huh. The program itself, I did my master's and my doctorate there in jazz studies. And really loved my time in Rochester. Again, I was able to become a part of the community. You know, with each of these next larger steps, the mm-hmm. fear for me was that I might not be able to sort of find a space within those communities, a space or an outlet for my music, performing in those communities, because the bigger they become, maybe the more isolated I felt.
Isolated because you perform in an esoteric venue, or because you don't have opportunities?
I guess it was a matter of finding inroads, uh-huh. finding connections with people, knowing how to get work, where to get work. I've always had sort of the good fortune of finding the right people, making the right friends and connections, mm-hmm. To be able to continue to perform in the communities that I'm living.
Right.
Starting with my, I guess it would have been with my time in Lawrence just a bit, I was doing some church work. Mm-hmm. Once I got to Rochester, I also landed a job as a church musician in Canandaigua, New York. And I guess because of my upbringing and all those churches I was performing in Western Kansas, seemed like an easy way to access a community of people.
Sure.
And so I held a number of church jobs when I was mm-hmm. in the Rochester area. And that, again, allowed me to meet a lot of new people, get a lot of my music out there, and sort of imbue that old familiar liturgy, the old familiar hymn tunes mm-hmm. with maybe jazz or world music styles, which was something that became really interesting to me, again, at Eastman.
Sure, sure.
And during my time at Eastman, I think it was during the doctoral program, I got a call from Mike Teitelbaum, the director of jazz studies at Ithaca College, another Eastman alum, and he called me and asked if I'd be interested in maybe doing some adjunct work at Ithaca College. And so I think it was back in fall of 2012 that I started doing a little bit of teaching on the side down here, started teaching some lessons, a course here or there. But that was what got me interested in this community, mm-hmm. and I had never really been to Ithaca, even though I'd been in Rochester for 3-4 years at that point.
Right. I mean, but, Rochester has an art scene and a whole life that's mm-hmm. very contained. Yeah.
Yeah. But I really grew to love Ithaca, and I guess as things evolved, I started getting a little bit more opportunity here, maybe a little bit more potential for work here. Once I finished the doctorate, though, the doctoral program in Rochester, I ended up moving out to Connecticut for about a year and a half, 2 years, to New Haven, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Yet again, a bigger stepping stone. And I took a position there as the music director at a jazz church in downtown New Haven, where I was literally every week arranging the hymns and the liturgy in jazz styles and world music styles for, let's see, it would have been piano, bass, drums, saxophone, voice, occasionally guitar. Uh-huh. So that was my primary position while I was out in Connecticut for a couple of years. Wow. Wow. And
what, was that an independent congregation, or was that part of a denominational?
Episcopal.
Episcopal, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And but even though I moved all the way to Connecticut, I maintained the Ithaca College connection and continued teaching at Ithaca College every other week or so.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't realize it at the time, or maybe I did. Some of my colleagues at Ithaca College were plotting to get me to move out here, finding more work for me. I got a call from Cornell and started doing some teaching there. And then got leads on more work at Ithaca College, basically a full-time teaching load. And then a church job opened up here and some community teaching. And now, well, it was I guess, just what was meant to happen. There was so many things overwhelming my decision.
Right, right, right. And you opened this segment with, you know, the concern that you would find a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the way, literally the way you framed it, or close to it. And in finding a community, you, what I hear is that you have lots of different pieces of your art that are pulled upon, whether it's teaching or performance or even the worship piece to some extent. And that you get to know people.
Right.
And they get to know you and your art.
One of the amazing things about being in so many different settings, right, whether it's the academic settings of Ithaca College and Cornell, or the church setting, or community teaching, gigging here in town, one of the really amazing things about that is getting to be a part of so many different communities, getting to meet so many different people, getting to have, I guess, a variety of different musical experiences and experiences with totally different types of people.
And how has Ithaca surprised you, for good or ill, in that regard?
Well, I wasn't expecting to have any opportunity to perform out here, because it's a smaller community. I just didn't realize how rich the music scene was here before I moved.
Right.
And I was afraid that there just wouldn't be many opportunities to play out. But I've been so pleasantly surprised at all the different the different things that have come up since I've been out here.
It's a very music rich environment. It has been probably for pushing 30 years, at least 20, and probably 30 or more. Let's cut again to music, because part of this is also showcasing some of your music. And what should we go next to next?
Why don't we play another swing tune? I think you've got In Your Own Sweet Way there.
Yep.
Dave Brubeck tune. This is one that the trio I play with every Wednesday at the Argos Inn from 5 to 7. This is one of our sort of staples.
Okie doke. Here we go. Thank you. You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report, and our guest on this hour is Nick Weiser. So Nick, you've been able to play in many different venues here in Ithaca, and you have an incredibly varied career, which is, as an artist, I mean, many of us do. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. But you also have some causes you're committed to, and you're helping one out this coming September 10th on Saturday evening. Do you want to say a bit about that? How did Feed My Starving Children and Ithaca Mobile Pack kind of get connected to you, and how did you find out about that?
Right, it's actually through my affiliation with the Savage Club of Ithaca. And this came from my church connections initially. A couple of my choir members at the church are in the Savage Club, and got an invitation to a couple of things, and before I knew it, I was the youngest member by, I don't know, about
20 years.
20 or 30 years, yeah. And that group does so many wonderful things for music and arts in the community, particularly for young people. Patricia Baxter got in touch with me because she's also affiliated with the Savage Club, and asked me if I would be interested in performing for this benefit for Feed My Starving Children, the Ithaca Mobile Pack. And, you know, one of the things that I think is so special about music is, I don't know, the opportunities it provides you to touch people's lives, to enrich people's lives. And it's a pretty non-invasive way of doing that, you know?
Right.
And so I think it's so nice to have the opportunity to be a part of that sort of thing, and to, I guess, promote such a wonderful cause.
You have when you're open to music and you're not reacting something about it, it can be a tremendous connection. I want to do a little bit of a pitch on this, and then I want to come back to something you'd said earlier. This concert, which is happening on September the 10th, next Saturday evening at 7 o'clock at First Congregational Church at 309 Highland, is used to help raise funds for the purchase of meals that will be packed at First Congregational Church from the 22nd to 24th of September, and then shipped to countries where they're particularly needed. You know, also St. Paul, you have more connections there than just to the Savage Club. Because Ithaca, St. Paul's 1 year had, as part of their kickoff in the fall, participation in the Ithaca Mobile Pack. I mean, there are all of these overlapping ties in this community.
Right.
And the Ithaca Mobile Pack brings together people from evangelical Christian, progressive Christian, mainline Protestant, Jewish, Muslim, secular backgrounds, who are doing something, about 1,200 to 1,500 volunteers every year for the past 6 years, who are doing something to make sure that food gets available to those most likely to starve. And we try each year to reach out to different constituents to try to, you know, to broaden the scope. And I am part of the steering committee for this effort, as well as the host of the Made of Clay Report. So this is a way in which we try to reach out. And so the donations that are made for this concert will go towards the support of that effort. And it has many, many, many ties in the community. So thank you for doing it. Thank you for being willing to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's my pleasure.
I want, and this is something where the door for you to perform had been opened by hundreds of relationships that have been percolating around for the past 6 years. And you had made this observation before that people had plans for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had plans for you to help you launch from your little town in Kansas. I imagine that you had similar help leaving Lawrence for the other places, and the pull to Ithaca with people making plans for you. It is a wonderful gift of grace, but it's also awesome in a fear-inducing way mm-hmm. to live with the knowledge that one's life has been shaped so much by others.
That's a great point.
So how do you wear that now? I mean, you're young. You're not super young,
right.
But you're young.
You're absolutely right. I mean, as soon as it became apparent that I had some musical inclination, I was pushed to keep going, keep developing that, keep pursuing that as a career path. It never really felt like it was going to be anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I didn't feel like I necessarily wanted anything different right. than that. But
it wasn't anywhere you didn't want to go.
Right. But the fact that there was and has been a lot of expectation can be, it's great motivation to be successful with what you're doing and to continue doing it. It's also a tremendous amount of pressure. And that's something that I've lived with for as long as I can remember.
So how has the way you have lived with pressure changed from those early childhood days to now? What has been the arc of your coping with pressure and a certain amount of anxiety and fear would be what I would guess.
Yeah, I think contrast mm-hmm. helps more and more. Pursuing things that aren't solely my musical interests. And that's another thing that Ithaca is so wonderful for, the fact that I can go for a hike
mm-hmm.
Whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed by the day-to-day work and all of my musical commitments and activities. So for me, it's finding contrast, finding my own time that's not that doesn't have any musical expectation.
And it's not tied to the community.
Right.
Yeah, it's your own.
Right. And that's something that I think it's taken quite a bit of time for me to develop that and mm-hmm. get comfortable mm-hmm. with it.
Sure.
Because I get a lot of energy from the communities in which I'm working and engaging. And so to find that sort of quiet space, that personal space has mm-hmm. been so, so important. And it's something that I've really just been able to do since I've been in Ithaca, seriously.
Yeah, and what's different in your life now that it makes it possible now?
I think, it probably has to do with the fact that I'm out of school at this point.
Yeah, there's no more degree to race for.
Yeah, and it's so easy to overwhelm yourself with so many tasks, so many jobs, so much work. And that was something that I'm still doing it to an extent. I have so much work here in mm-hmm. town. But being really deliberate about budgeting time for myself, mm-hmm. time to spend building relationships that aren't necessarily with these communities, but one-on-one individual relationships mm-hmm. with people I care about, and also just to spend time alone figuring out what I want as opposed to what other people want for me.
Right, right.
That's been unbelievably helpful for me.
Right.
Since leaving college, where things are so structured again.
Right, right. And grad school and what I imagine was a hot job, because I think I may know that congregation and,
mm-hmm.
or have heard of it through other connections
right.
that I have. So that is a... So my question for you becomes, in a certain sense, you are still, because of both your age and your talent, there are lots of places and ways you can go with your life, even remaining in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
But now you have a chance to set that direction or pace a little bit more than you, certainly a lot more than
right.
you did up to this point.
Absolutely.
What sorts of things, as you settle back, what sorts of things do you discover yourself looking for or caring about that you didn't used to care about you know, you already said some in terms of the time to go out and walk or do.
Right, spending time outside, traveling more is an interest of mine, of course. With all the work I'm doing, it's sort of challenging to do that. But going out and having different cultural experiences, exploring parts of the country or parts of the world that I've never seen before, which again just enriches everything else. It enriches all of the musical things that are going on. And the things that I'm drawing from in my music, which is my, you know, primary profession.
Right.
So yeah, the ability to travel and spend time outdoors.
Let's cut to music, and I want to come back to some of to the kind of the next iteration of this question.
Great.
But would you like to go to next?
Well, one of the things that we haven't played yet is a ballad. I find myself over and over again being drawn to ballads for their expressive potential. And so I think what I'd like to play is the solo piano version of I Got It Bad.
Okay, I've got it right here.
Great.
You're listening to WRFI, Watkins Glen, Ithaca, and this is the Made of Clay Report, and Nick Weiser is our guest on this hour. So, Nick, we're nearing the end of the hour, and the question that I close with is, what do you do to take care of yourself physically, emotionally, intellectually, daily, weekly, monthly, whenever, and how do you know that you need to take care of yourself?
Again, one of the things that I've been really deliberate about since moving to Ithaca, spending time outside, but also remaining physical. It's easy as an academic and as a musician to spend all of my time sitting in front of the piano. Not that that's necessarily inactive, if you've ever seen me perform.
Not with the aggressive, I mean, a right. real, yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's very important for me to have some sort of physical routine, mm-hmm. Particularly strength training, and it's another type of outlet. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. whereas music gives you so many expressive outlets, that physical outlet mm-hmm. of going to the gym, going for a run, going for a walk. Again, there are so many different ways of doing it here in Ithaca.
Right, right.
That's really important for me as far as how I take care of myself physically.
Yeah.
And again, with regard to spirituality and emotion, you know, when I was growing up, I spent a lot of time. One of the advantages to growing up in Western Kansas is that you're not that far from Colorado. So I spent a lot of time in the mountains growing up. And even though I've worked in many churches, many different denominations, and I've always found that for me, being in nature is really, that's sort of the original sanctuary, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I find that I get a lot of enrichment, a lot of fulfillment from spending that type of time in solitude, in nature, in the quiet and the stillness. So that's a big part of what I do. Again, I think also as I've grown to become more honest and genuine in my interactions with other people, I feel better about the life I'm living, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so getting to a place where I'm maybe doing a little bit less of what people expect of me and doing a little bit more of what I feel I need to do mm-hmm. Has helped me in that regard too. It helps me kind of keep an even keel. Playing music is in its own way leveling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps me because of the, I mean, in a way, playing music is, I guess, always maybe somewhat self-serving, right? We're expressing the emotion that we're feeling. We're expressing, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that is, I think, if we're being genuine about it. But at the same time, it gives us the opportunity to connect with other people.
Right.
And that is such a profound thing, not necessarily just connecting with an audience, but being able to deepen relationships that you have by connecting with the other musicians with whom you're playing.
Which is what struck me about your improvisation emphasis, and that is all about being in the moment. It's not a solo emotional show.
Yeah.
It is all about how physically and emotionally you are keyed into each other.
And when it comes to, you know, emotional well-being,
yeah.
having other musicians with whom you can relate on a musical level, musical level or not, is so important for that sort of health and well-being too, because I know I can lean on other players right. in my group.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, I think that's another important thing. That sort of sense of community, that sort of sense of this being a social music.
Right.
Helps keeps things balanced.
And this is part of the balance of having, you were given a career in music by the interest of other people,
right.
but you had to take that career in music to make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And the ship is now you're now sailing it with more of a sense of having a handle on the rudder, I think.
Right.
It seems like, yeah, powerful. And Nick, it has been wonderful to get to know you.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
And I encourage you, if you are free on September the 10th at 7 p.m., to attend the concert at First Congregational Church, which Nick is doing as a fundraiser for Ithaca Mobile Pack and Feed My Starving Children. We're going to close on Shenandoah. Do you want to say anything about that?
All right. This is it's going to be released on an album that trumpet professor at Ithaca College, Frank Campos, and I have been working on for about a year now. And there's something really genuine about this tune. Folk melodies and this type, these types of melodies are, again, really genuine, really honest. And the thing that's so amazing to me about this particular recording is that Frank and I had no real preconceived notion about what we were going to do. Again, that's something that structurally a lot of times we'll have something pre-planned in this music. But this particular recording evolved in a way that I didn't expect. And it's something that I couldn't have done or wouldn't have done the same way if I were playing alone. And again, it just speaks to the fact that the relationships that you foster through this music or through music in general can really lead to very special and exciting places.
Here we go.